Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of June, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Fake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. The folks at the Andersons facility in Logansport, Indiana, that's the Climbers facility, will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And George Sipar, the Director and Associate Dean of Outreach and Extension Services in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. We'll talk a little bit about the Extension celebration of its 100th anniversary. And it all comes up during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. July soft red winter wheat at $5.75 and a half a bushel, a settlement price up 4.5 cents. The hard red finished at $7.14, 8.5 cents higher. July corn at $4.41, down 2. September at $4.35 3/4, a penny lower. December corn, $4.40, the new crop down 3/4 of a cent. March futures at $4.50 3/4, down 1/2, and the May at $4.58, 1/2 lower. July of next year at $4.64 3/4, down 1/2 cent. July soybeans, $14.15 3/4, up 2 1/4. August at $13.61 3/4, up 4 cents. And September at $12.65 1/2, up 4 3/4. November beans, $12.29, a gain today of 4.5 cents. January futures, $12.35 1/2, up 4 1/4, and the March of next year at $12.41 1/2, up 4 3/4 as well. Bean meal gained $3.30. Bean oil lost today, down 32 cents. Live cattle futures in the June contract at $151.95, up 80 cents. August at $150.65 per 100 pounds, 92.5 cents higher. August feeders at $212.12 1/2, up $1.50. The September futures at $213.90 finished $1.70 higher. In July, lean hogs for the day up $1.12 1/2 at $129.30. August at $128.65, down $2.42 1/2. The July, by the way, was down $1.12 1/2, not up $1.12 1/2. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, $106.50 a barrel, up 40 cents. At 47 cents, the RBOB gasoline at $3.09 1/10 cents. That's 3 4/10 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $2.08 2/10, a penny and 9 cents higher. And the RBOB price of gasoline to ethanol, that's the spread, at $1.00 1/9 cents, down 0.05 cents for the afternoon. Natural gas at $4.56 4/10. That's up 2 9/10. Diesel fuel for the day at $3.03, $1.1 1/10 cents lower. And the gold futures at $1,322.20, $1.30 higher. The U.S. dollar currently trading at 80.23. That's on the delay, is down 0.09 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Isolated showers, some thunderstorms, mostly sunny skies. Otherwise, a high near 86 degrees. A northwest wind this afternoon at about 8 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation at a very low 20%. Isolated showers may continue into the evening with a few thunderstorms scattered around. Partly cloudy and a low of 64 degrees. Again, a north-northwest wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. There'll be light and variable winds after midnight. Chance of precipitation again, just 20% for the night. A 40% chance of showers tomorrow, mainly after 2 in the afternoon. Partly sunny skies and the high near 83. That 40% chance of rainfall continues into Thursday night with mostly cloudy skies and a low of 66. Friday, a continued 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, otherwise a high of 84 degrees. The winds then will turn from the south-southwest at 7 to 10 miles an hour on Friday night. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Again, mostly cloudy and a low of 69. We'll talk more about the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 25th day of June, 2014. I'm U of I's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the marketplace and what you see for the afternoon, the kinds of things you've been considering throughout the day and discussions you've had with your clientele.
Well, you know, everybody's concerned. They're just not quite sure how the whole acreage report is going to rock and roll when you come right down to the bottom side. So we've been talking about what happens, you know, with the acreage wild card. In other words, you know, if December acres come in below 90 or under 91.7, I think it's very likely we'll hit back to that 460 level. That's a 24% retracement. We may hit some pretty tough overhead resistance at that point. Because, you know, that retraces from the 514 and three quarters down to the 435. If we come in over, I would have to say I think 418 is in the game, 138% retracement of that same move. On beans, we come in under 82.17 million acres. I think we're back to 1250 fairly quick. And if we're over, I think that $12, which is around the 100-day moving average, and then maybe 1177, the 200-day moving average are there. So, you know, people have a lot to think about. And when you combine that with the grain stocks report, and, of course, the end of the month and the end of the quarter, it even makes things tougher. You know, on grain stocks, $3.7 billion is what the average guess is. You know, I think that, you know, if we come in under that, we probably look at $4.50. Over that, we look at $4 on September corn. You know, you and I talked about it this morning. Even if we come in at 3.7, we're still a billion bushels above where we were last year at this time. And on beans, you know, if you look at August beans, if we come in at under 3.87, I think $14.50 is definitely in the game. We come in over that, and then I think, you know, we're looking at that $13.40 and possibly even the $13 area on the 200-day moving average. So, and then you add to that the wild card of what happens to yield. You know, I mean, could there be many more things that could be affecting this?
Well, there could be, and I think maybe one of the things that might be on the top of the list, and I don't know whether this is the case or not, would be Russia, particularly what Putin has in mind for Ukraine. That still tends to be just like the Middle East, it tends to be something that could move the marketplace pretty quickly, I would think. What do you think?
Well, I do. I think that, you know, when you looked at the fact that this morning they announced, you know, that some of the sanctions they were talking about putting in against Russia, and they're actually talking about true economic sanctions now, not just friends of Putin and things like that, are being delayed because Putin went and had the sanctions saying that they could use force in Ukraine removed. That has not changed the fact that the insurgents have still been fighting, and there have been people dying there today. But I do think, you know, that is something that lays in the background. We haven't been getting as much support from it lately just because it's been relatively quiet. And, you know, the export market is the same thing. When you look at, we had corn purchases today of 217,400 metric tons of corn and 58,000 metric tons of milo, which, by the way, China has imported 2.5 million metric tons of milo this year in contrast to about 6,000 last year. So, this is all for delivery 12 months from now after September 1st, but there's 58,000 metric tons of milo for delivery before August of this year. So could this be China? Yeah, it could very well be. And, you know, and that could be an indicator that, you know, China's just hedging its bets ahead of the report coming out on Monday.
Have you been seeing that AMS, Agriculture Marketing Service, report on Friday afternoon, Jackie, where they show the milo or sorghum exports and what that thing looks like? That chart is incredible. I'll try to put it out maybe on the website, but it's, you know, it normally it looks to me like it runs at about an incline, at least in the way the chart's formatted. Years past, at about 30%. Mm-hmm. It starts out at 30 and then it goes to 85% just straight up.
and that's China. I mean, you know, that's where, you know, we haven't seen the exports going in corn necessarily as much to China, but we know that they've shifted over to a tremendous amount of milo. And so, That's good news. There's no question about that. It's underpinning. I think maybe they're playing the card that if we buy Milo instead of corn, it won't have as big an impact on the grain market. You know, it doesn't appear. It isn't so obvious as it is otherwise. But, yeah, I think it's an amazing chart. It'd be great if you put it out.
And we'll take a look at it, and I'll try to drop that back. I'll see if I can't find it again. South America, this should be a time where we're seeing beans from South America being shipped all across the planet. Is that really the case, or do they have other things in mind?
Oh, that's a good question, Todd, because everything I can find on South America is who really cares? We have the World Cup. We don't care about anything else. I mean, there's just virtually little to no information out there at all at this point in time because they're into the World Cup, and that's about the way it is. So we'll get more information once the World Cup is over, I'm sure. And you know, they're still in the market. There's no place, you know. Then we can skip over to ethanol once. I think that's a pretty interesting place, too. You know, the new ethanol report that came out today actually shows that we need 104.5 million bushels a week to be able to meet the USDA's expectation of 5.05. And then you look at that and say, wow, that's a pretty big goal. And then yet the EPA Administrator, Gina McCarthy, said she hopes to announce the 2014 renewable fuel standard soon. We're halfway through the year. Yeah, you know, let's get it done. But I think that if they do come up and they do kick the standard up, well, that'll help us. There's no question.
Bottom line at this time of year, though, generally, is that most people look to the weather and say, that's the deal. That's what makes the difference with the crop, especially for corn.
There's absolutely no question when you look at that, Todd. And we certainly have had a mixed bag here now since we got to the middle of June. You know, I talked to so many guys in the Northern Belt the last few days, you know, and we're seeing the water go down slowly in some areas. But, you know, there's no chance to replant corn if it didn't make it. So we have no idea how many acres are lost. And you and I talked this morning, they wouldn't even be counted in this report anyway. There are a lot of straight-line damage wind out in Nebraska. I mean, just immense amounts of damage there to buildings and everything else. One guy told me today, he said, I'm not exaggerating. Our town only has 600 people in it, but he said every window on the west side of the homes, the buildings, and the businesses were all knocked out. That's how bad the hail was. And I also had people out there who had animals killed, said deer, jackrabbits, you name it. It's really quite something. And then you flip that over and you go somewhere else in Nebraska and they tell you they can't believe how good the corn looks because they've been getting rain. You know, and so it's just such a mixed bag. We've got some corn tasseling here in Illinois. Ohio's telling me, you know, somewhere between 1.5 to 2 weeks from right now. Indiana's kind of in the same boat. You know, it's just I think we're going to get through this report on Monday and the end of the month and the end of the quarter, and then the focus will, depending upon what the report says, but even no matter what the report says, the focus is definitely going to go to weather.
Before I let you go, turn your attention to livestock for me.
Oh, what a wild and crazy place that is. Live cattle today were up pretty strong. They're waiting for cash. Feeder cattle put in new contract highs today again. Every time corn remains lower, we see new contract highs. And the hog market looked exactly the opposite. You know, they're taking positions ahead of the hog and pig report that will be out on Friday. At this point, they expect 97.1% or 63.2 million head for hogs out there, kept for breeding. About 5.9 million head, and kept for marketing, 57.3 million head. So that would be 96.8%. It's going to be interesting, and it will give us some idea, I guess, going into the report in terms of have we lost any feed when it comes to that side of the marketplace.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vanks is with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org or follow us on Twitter at Commodity Week or at David A. Dickey.
Something About Milk Goats, presented on transcription by the University of Illinois College of Agriculture. Now, most of us don't know very much about milk goats.
Well, that was part of a 1940 program on WILL that captures some of the University of Illinois Extension's emphasis on agriculture. There were also extension programs on home economics and food preservation. and that were designed to help rural families. But the O by Extension has shifted in focus over the last century to meet the needs of a diverse population. Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers recently talked about some of those changes with U of I Extension Director George Sipar.
We don't have 30 or 40 or 50% of the population involved in farming anymore. It's a much smaller percentage. And so what Extension has done strategically to try and see where we can have the biggest impact. And so we've, in some cases, changed our focus. We still continue to work with the large commercial agricultural interests, but we also have a focus on local foods, small farms, because those are areas that we feel there's a tremendous amount of interest, and we feel we can have a fairly large impact as far as providing resources to that group.
And just geographically, those sort of programs can really target urban areas.
Right, and that's another big push that we're seeing right now, just, again, looking at where the population centers are and the people that can benefit from research-based education, and those are the metro areas. And probably the biggest example of that would be in our 4-H program. We've seen a tremendous interest in taking 4-H that was traditionally viewed as kind of a rural-type activity and making that available to kids in metro areas. And so there's been a large focus to try and expand that and not just, you know, restrict it to traditional corn and pig clubs, but to look at what types of things would interest children from metro areas. There's a big push right now to look at the STEM fields, the science, technology, engineering, and math. And so that's certainly an area that 4-H can add value to. We have a research-based connection to the campus. Kids are interested in it. We've got robotics clubs that are really kind of fun for anyone to get involved with. And so we see those really taking off and getting a lot of attention.
I know the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, has put an emphasis on locally grown farm products. How does the U of I Extension really reach out to develop this sector?
Okay, so that was, again, one of the real strategic decisions we made a few years ago, was to focus on our field educators. And so we actually have 16 local food, small farm educators that work with not only farmers markets, but work with people that are interested in starting that local food enterprise. They want to know more about where their food comes from. They want to be involved. And we think we can, again, add value by helping those people as they get started to make sure that their decisions are solid and research-based. And so that's an area that we're really excited about. We continue to get a lot of interest. We've also been approached by hospitals and some nonprofits that would like to establish those small farms. Again, working not only with our educators, but also with our large cadre of master gardeners.
How well does the University of Illinois Extension do in representing and serving underserved communities?
You know, that's another really important question, and one that we're active in. One of the things with our metro clubs, there's been a big focus to look at Hispanic populations, and so we have Latino 4-H clubs that we're currently recruiting. The 4-H has a really unique approach in that when they recruit someone that's multilingual, they also want to make sure that they're multicultural, that they understand the dynamics of the family. And for me, that's one of the real strengths that we offer to the whole university, is that if we can connect and establish that level of trust with families when they're young, when they're in 4-H programs, that may ultimately translate to those students feeling more comfortable to come to our university as they get older. And so I think it's important that connection has to be on a very personal level. It has to be that level of trust. And again, that's something I'm really encouraged about, that we can offer that way of recruiting some of our underrepresented students to come to campus.
When you look at 4-H, are you seeing very many people of color who are part of it?
You know, that's something we're actively looking to improve. Certainly, if we look at the demographics of the state and kind of the makeup of the state, we're not quite there yet, but we are seeing some fairly significant increases, again, in the types of programs, the types of 4-H clubs that kids might want to get involved with. So that's really encouraging.
Are these changes needed in order for Extension to exist, for it to survive?
Well, I mean, I think we always
to be relevant.
To be relevant, we're trying to just make sure that the basic core mission of taking research-based information and putting it in a form that people can use to improve their lives, I think that hasn't changed at all. That's the same basic mission that we've had for 100 years. Again, what's different is the types of information we deliver, the audiences that we reach, and just the approach that we take. But I think that's always going to be very critical. You know, the other thing that we see, and I see where Extension really can add value to our university, is that many of the researchers, when they put in grant proposals or they apply for funding, more and more there's a requirement that they demonstrate broader impacts. They show how their research will translate into helping people improve their lives. And again, I think that's where Extension has a really unique fit, because that's our business. That's what we do. We have offices all over the state. We have a presence, and we can take that research that's being generated on our campus and apply it and help people actually improve their lives.
And there's not just discussion about broadening the research ideas, but also broadening the fields, expanding Extension across the University of Illinois, across multiple departments. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right, and so this is an initiative we just started this year, actually. We're partnering with the Provost's Office, and the idea was to create a pool of resources that we would open up to the entire campus, and we requested proposals from all across campus how they would partner with Extension and take their research base, work with our Extension field staff, and translate into actually delivering and demonstrating those broader impacts. We had a great response. We had over 70 pre-proposals that were submitted, some outstanding ones that we're sorting through right now. We've narrowed it down to 10, and we hope to fund 5 or 6 of those proposals that, again, will take the solid core research base that we have on campus and make it available to a broader audience throughout the state.
And that is George Sipar. He is the director of Extension here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He spoke with Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers. On the phone line now with us to take a look on this Wednesday afternoon at the cash grain market is Stephen Lineber. He's at the Andersons facility in the Claimers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Hi, how are you, Stephen?
How we doing, Todd? I'm good.
Oh, I'm very, very well. So have you had too much rain there, just about the right amount, or does it just look really rosy?
I would say we're pushing the upper limits of enough, but I think you would agree with me when I say we're not going to complain about it, because as soon as we do that, it stops.
Yeah.
But it sure feels like we're pushing the upper limits of being plenty wet for this time frame. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my father, in his sage advice, said I would prefer to have too much rather than too little.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And farmers feeling good about the crops, I suppose.
Yeah, very much so. Corn, I'm pretty much in the overnight. You can hear the corn grow. Beans, maybe some guys would agree or disagree that maybe we're a little lacking on beans, a little thin in places. But I think that's just with the little wetter conditions. We turn around and watch the beans, you know, really start to take off as we get into that warmer, drier weather, and maybe we've got enough subsoil moisture right there in pollination that the corn doesn't suffer either. So things looking good right now.
How does local demand for corn feel to you?
Good to, middle of the road to good. I think more so it's the demand of needing corn from an inventory standpoint, from an ethanol perspective, as well as just an elevator. Demand still there now. It's becoming a challenge that finding out more on the farm storage being empty than what we thought, leaving us scratching our head just a little, but it sure feels like the corn's still there, just a little more of a little harder work to go find what those bins are still full.
And, Stephen, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn Claimers at the close, 438. Cash Delphi, 433. Cash beans, 1427. And new wheat, right around 570.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Stephen Lineber is with the Andersons at their Claimers facility. They're in Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on the closing market report for this Wednesday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Creamy Pralines Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Thomas Blanchard was born. An American inventor, he created a machine for mass-producing tacks. And at age 13, he developed an apple-paring machine. In 1817, the first coffee was planted in Hawaii on the Kona coast. In 1839, Gustavus Franklin Swift was born. Swift was founder of the meat packing business Swift & Company, the inventor of the refrigerated railway car, and the first to ship dressed beef to eastern markets instead of live animals. Swift also pioneered products including glue, soap, and margarine out of cattle parts previously discarded. Swift & Company was worth $25 million at the time of his death in 1903. And in 2003, Richard Plow died, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he helped found the World Wildlife Fund. In 1945, he was one of the first to warn about the dangers of DDT-deficient birds. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, it looks like there may be some pollination, at least the beginning of tasseling happening in our part of the world.
Yeah, it looks like the weather conditions are going to be supportive of that. We've got lots of subsoil moisture around right now. It looks like that the rain intensity on future rain events might be a little bit lighter than what we've been seeing in some areas across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. But there will still be enough frequency in the precipitation that occurs to maintain a very good environment, I think, for future pollination. And the key will be what we can do with rainfall when we get into the second week of July, second and third weeks. I think both those weeks, it'll be important that we do continue a scattered shower pattern, because I think the topsoil is going to firm up a little bit on us as we go forward over this next 10 days or so. Subsoil moisture will still be fine, be supportive for the crop development. There shouldn't be any reason for us to worry much about stress coming up. But it is important that we conserve that subsoil moisture and use it for later in July and August when it gets usually warmest and driest. And so some timely rainfall a little later in July will be important. Right now, everything looks like we're going to see a continuation of well-mixed weather, little weak ridges of high pressure moving across the region at times that will bring us brief moments of drier and warmer weather, followed by less stable conditions and an opportunity for scattered showers and beneficial rain, slight bit of cooling. So it looks like a really good mix, I think, for the next couple of weeks.
Hey, can you tell me a little bit more about the rainfall that has fallen in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt? There were some really dry areas there, and even to the south of them. Has that alleviated drought problems that they have had for, I don't know, 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, it has definitely done a major job at doing that. I think that it's interesting to note that over the last 30 days, there's some areas out there in northwestern Iowa into Minnesota that have had more than 20 inches of rain. That's just too much. We've kind of gone the other extreme now. But that's kind of a small region, but we do have portions of Minnesota, northwest Iowa, and northeastern Nebraska that are just too wet right now. The rest of the region, though, yes, I think there's been a significant amount of relief in that droughty pattern. Our water supply is going to be much better for the summer, and I think that's one of the reasons why I think the outlook for the growing season coming up looks so promising, because we have all this moisture in the ground, the water supply has been restored, and we're going to get some good feedback moisture when we do get ridges of high pressure to build up. So I think it's back to the good old days.
How about the southern and southwestern United States, where they have hard red winter wheat in the midst of harvest?
Yes, and that hasn't gone too well here recently. Portions of Kansas and Oklahoma both reporting a little bit too much rainfall and some problems with wet weather disease and grain quality issues, even some head sprouting in a few areas. The situation is going to slowly get better across that region, but we are still looking at several days of scattered showers across parts of hard red winter wheat country that will still maintain some risk to the quality of the crop. Harvest progress will be somewhat sluggish, but we should see progress made. I think as we move into the first full week of July, we'll probably see better conditions across most of that region.
Thanks for taking the time with us today, Drew.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good afternoon.
Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Helps to wrap it up. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.